before we start recording, going to talk about first about analytics, and then if that comes to a close, we'll talk about preparing for conventions.
Yeah.
I did MCM last week, so I can talk about
that. I was going to suggest that since you went to MCM last week, it would probably be quite nice just to hear how you got on and what you thought about it and all that as well. So, yeah, perfect.
Yep, sounds good to me.
Okay,
shall we start then?
Yep. Yep, let's do it, yeah.
Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
You're listening to the Webcomics Company Podcast, a fortnightly podcast by four of the most fantastic people in webcomics who happen to be on this podcast. Let's introduce ourselves.
Hello, my name's James Spence, and I have a webcomic called Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Luke Sill, and my comics can be found at LukeSill, that's spelled SURL.com.
I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson. You can find me at All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net, and The Life of Knobty Mouse at knobmouse.net, and also at the Webcomic Builder at webcomicbuilder.com. And we're down one person this week. Our good friend Luke Healy hasn't been able to make it. You can find his work at swanynook.com, and that's the webcomic Swanny Nook.
So we actually have something in our mailbag this week.
We do.
So does anybody have it to hand to read out? Because that's
oddly enough, I do. I'm on the big screen in front of me. I have a message from Jeremy Mad Dog Miller, who does the webcomic Zombie George. He says to us, "Hi guys, I love your podcast and have been eagerly awaiting the next episode." He's downloading it while he's typing this, apparently. He says, "Let me state for the record that I am not net savvy, so webcomics were a natural choice. I use Google Analytics to watch the ebb and flow of my readers, both of them. And my question is, what does it all mean?" That's an interesting question. So, shall we talk about how analytics works and what it means?
Yeah, by all means, yeah. Analytics, I know that you guys use it as well. It's something that's a really great way of just taking a pulse of your webcomic and seeing how much traffic you're getting coming in. And it's also a really good way of sort of making sure that you're targeting your adverts and things like that as well. Well, what's the best way to do this? Will we just sort of have a wee... Do you guys have analytics open just now?
I do. I can bring it up.
For the absolutely uninitiated, analytics works on the basis that everybody who visits your site leaves an IP, which contains a certain degree of information about them, a rough indication of their location, usually their server, their hosting service. You can also get their browser and screen resolution and other things. But the main thing that most webcomic artists will do is look at the totals and numbers, because it's a general indication of how well you're doing. People statements that your webcomic artists are looking to increase the numbers on their analytics a little bit. And there are lots of services out there to do this counting for. They mostly work by adding a little bit of script to your page. Personally, I use something called Google Analytics, which I think is the most popular. Do you guys use anything different?
I use a selection of them for counting and making sure that I'm getting the right people. The main ones are Google Analytics and Quantcast, to be honest. Quantcast is a bit of an oddity. It seems to track everything, but not very well unless you ask it to. So I found that it's pretty good at telling me more about the type of person who's coming to the website than Google Analytics is, but it's not.
I'm sorry, Zoe, you're going quiet for a second there.
Sorry, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you now, but you actually went quiet for a bit there, just cut out. I don't know if you heard that, James, as well.
No, I didn't, but funnily enough, you had cut out for just a minute or two. Well, not a minute or two, just a few seconds while you were speaking as well.
Let's hope that the gremlins of the internet aren't trying to sabotage our podcast.
Yeah.
I might have to hit them with a stick.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't do it.
Sorry, it's all right. Was in Quantcast, it's pretty good at telling me the demographics. Like, for example, one of my websites says 50% male, 50% female, split almost right down the middle. But it doesn't tell me a really good idea of how many people are coming to see the site. Whereas Google Analytics is better at telling me how many people are having a look at the site, but it doesn't tell me an awful lot about them. So I find it's very good to use a variety. So I use Google Analytics, Quantcast, and I sometimes check with Project Wonderful as well. So if you have any adverts, that kind of tracks them as well.
There are quite a few services out there, and most of them there's a lot of free ones as well. I also know StatCounter, which is something I used earlier on, which gets you quite in-depth. You can actually track down visitors right down individually, which is something you can't quite do on Google Analytics. But in my personal experience, Google Analytics gets you a very thorough and quite professional and easy-to-use service.
Sometimes you can get quite big discrepancies in the numbers as well, depending on which service you use. There can be various reasons for that. Like, for example, Google Analytics works on a JavaScript that you put into your website. So if someone's got Java disabled on theirs, then Google Analytics will never pick them up. But that tends to be a very small number. The ones that you use from sort of advertising sites like Project Wonderful, if someone's got ad blocker up, then it'll tend not to count those people. So you'll generally, you know, find that they have sort of similar trends and things like that, but you won't necessarily always get the same numbers depending on which service you use.
That is a very good point. I think that underlines the fact that you've really got to look at using more than one tracker.
Yeah.
If you're relying on one, then you're very much stuck with whatever downsides they have.
Yeah, and also with, you know, different ones will also, depending on where they're based, they might actually see a specific day as starting and ending at a different time because of the different time zones. So you can't always sort of when you're looking at them from different providers, then you're not really comparing like for like in all cases.
Definitely. Project Wonderful is terrible for that. I found that its days seem to start around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Which might be fine for American people or Canadian people, but from my point of view, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm checking in to have a look at my analytics, and it's saying I've had one person. And I know that's me, because the way I get to Project Wonderful is I click on the link on the bottom of the advert.
Right, yeah.
And so I've seen the comic today.
I think as well, with the likes of Project Wonderful, if you don't have Project Wonderful in, say, your RSS feed as well, then anything that you've got in your RSS feed won't be picked up by it. Likewise with, in fact, any of them, the RSS feed, if you don't have the bit of code in the feed, then it'll, again, never know that you had someone reading through that method as well. So it's difficult to get something that will be an absolute and accurate count of all your readers. But like I say, probably the best thing to do is to have a few of them, try them out, and just get a feel for trends rather than specific numbers.
In the end, it can become more of a relative thing in the end. You just want to know that how well you are doing compared to how well you were doing 3 months ago.
That is very true. You want to make sure that the little blip on your chart is going up rather than down.
Yeah, and it's definitely worth pointing out as well. It's probably better to make sure you're comparing your numbers against your own numbers, like your earlier numbers, because it can lead to madness if you are sort of looking at other people's stats and things and sort of saying, well, how am I doing compared to this other website? Because, I mean, Well, you're not comparing like for one thing, and you know it can be quite depressing if you know you see a comic that if you think, well, you know, I love my comic and I'm not so keen on that comic, but they've got 10 times as many readers as me, so yeah, so don't stress too much over other people's stats. Just focus on your own. That's my main advice.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm looking at my overall dashboard for Google Analytics now, and it's saying all of the house for this month had 948 uniques. Life of Naughty Mouse had 171. So comparing one with the other, it gives you nothing more than a really bad feeling that one of your comics you spend ages on and it's not doing much. But at the same time, that they're completely different audiences. You might think that they're similar because they're by the same person, or if you're comparing it with someone else's webcomic, you might think, well, I like both of these and they seem pretty similar, but at the end of the day, they've got different audiences and you can't compare.
Yeah. Is it worth having a wee look at what some of the things in Google Analytics are and just sort of kind of explaining what some of the main headings are and how useful they are as well?
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
All right, well, if you go into Google Analytics, the first thing that it takes you to is kind of almost like a summary page that shows you for the last month how you've done, and it just basically will give you summary of how many visits and average time on site and things like that. But if you click to view the report, then you can get the same information but in a lot more detail. So I'd sort of go into that bit first of all.
So you're looking at the dashboard here.
That's right, yeah.
It's a bit confusing that you click on View Report and it comes up with a page that says Dashboard.
Yeah, that's right. So when you go into the sort of the report, then you'll see that it's got a graph at the top that it's usually, well, in fact, by default, it puts it to the last month, and you can see how many visits you've had on each day over the last month. But you can change that. You could have a look at, like, my comic started on the 1st of January this year, so I'll often go back to the very first date and go to today's date and just have a look at how the numbers have changed over the whole life of the comic. And you can also sort the graph either by day or by week or by month, and it's actually quite useful by month because you get averages out all the fluctuations a lot more, so you can actually see that you are hopefully increasing month on month rather than or staying the same, or you know, you could be losing readers if you've gone on hiatus or something like that. Then underneath that, it talks about the site usage, and again, it'll count that. It does summary numbers depending on what the time period is that you've specified. So if it's like the number of visits, which could mean if someone comes to your site three times during the period that you've selected, they'll be counted as three visits. You can also look up unique users, in which case if someone comes three times then they'll only be counted once because it's the same person, and that's based on the actual IP number, I think, for that one. What other numbers have we got here? Page views is the specific number of pages that have been looked at during the time. Pages for visit, that's sort of averages out how many have been looked at per one IP that's been to the site.
I think what that actually is regardless of what the IP is or whether it's a new person or a returning person, I always read that pages per visit as, right, I've come to the site and I'm going to see the front page, and how many other pages do I click on while I'm there before I leave?
That's possibly even more than your actual overall number. That's quite a good stat to look at. It probably relates most to just how captivating the entrance that you're presenting for your comic actually is.
Well, it's really useful as well. If you are advertising your comic, then you can use the pages per visit in conjunction with your traffic sources, and you can see how many pages per visit you got per traffic source. So if I'm advertising on Zoe's site, say, I can have a look at my traffic source for Zoe's site and say, oh, right, the average number of people who came from Zoe's site looked at 10 pages, whereas the average number of people who came from a science fiction site came in and looked at 40 pages, say. So I'll know that it's probably worth spending a bit more money on advertising from the one that's the 40 pages.
Definitely. Looks like Luke's turned up, but I'm going to try and pull him into the conversation.
And just to take a quick joke to here, everything we say here probably should just be taken with so that people visiting the site, there's so much random things that could happen.
I know.
Never really judge that that's the actual cause of that number being different. Hello, Luke. How are you doing?
Hello.
How's it going?
I've been trying to get onto the internet for the entire time, and I'm now contacting you via the magic of 3G.
You're on an actual phone.
Yeah.
Oh, nightmare.
Welcome to the future where computers can talk to phones.
True. It's like a tiny computer right here in my hand. Amazing.
Oh, I'm scared of this future. I'm going away now.
Anyway, I'm so sorry. Please continue.
Don't worry. We're just talking about Google Analytics.
Cool.
And how useful the pages per visit function is in that.
Are you a Google Analytics user? Or do you use something else?
I do use Analytics, yes. It's just so straightforward. That how could I not use it? I think it's like a total necessity.
I definitely agree. If you're starting up a new webcomic, the first thing you should be putting on your site is the code for Google Analytics so you can start capturing data straight away.
It's a very easy thing to do, actually. You just have to have a little snippet of HTML, which you put... I put it in the footer of my site, and it works... you've got to give credit to the people at Google. They make things work really well.
And they do it all for free, which is just fantastic.
And isn't that just the webcomics model? Give away stuff for free in order to make money?
We make money now?
That's counterintuitive. It just might work.
I mean, it's weird, but I do plan to make money off my comic eventually.
Well, I hope you do.
Well, yeah, I've only been trying for 14 years. I'll get there eventually.
I'm trying that as well because I've only got so many organs I'm willing to sell, you know. So.
They won't take mine.
Mine are nicely pickled, so...
I think that might be one of the reasons why they won't take mine.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
I think where we were is we were looking at the dashboard of Google Analytics.
We were.
And just trying to work out what all these different colours and graphs all mean.
Oh, talking about the graphs, have any of you used that advanced segments button at the top of the main dashboard graph? Because I love to click on that, and then instead of just having your old visitors, add in new visitors and returning visitors, and then click apply, and you get a brilliant little display of just how many people are new to your website and whether they become returning visitors.
Ah, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that existed, but it sounds great.
It's great. So you get your overall all visitors thing, so you still got the same information you had before on the screen, but you have these two little extra line graphs underneath, and I think that's brilliant from my point of view, certainly, because I'm really wanting to try and build up my readership. So I want to know how many new visitors I'm getting per day and whether my returning visitors is also going up.
Because I could, my comic has quite a lot of visits from things I stumble upon. So I've just done that with my last month's visit. I can see that my returning visitors is a fairly flat line. There might be a slope upwards, might be a slope downwards. It's difficult to tell if there's any overall slope there. But the fluctuation is almost entirely within new visitors. That's sort of what I expected, considering what my traffic sources are.
See, you've got a core group of people who keep coming to your site, and you've got a large amount of people who could potentially turn into your core group.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So if most of your traffic comes, or a lot of your traffic comes from StumbleUpon, then this is the bounce rate. Is that not the number of people who come in and look at one page and then go after that? So presumably I mean, certainly when I put something on StumbleUpon and it gets a wee up, a boost, then my bounce rate goes up quite high as well. So do you find that happens with yourself as well?
Yeah, my bounce rate is quite a high number. Hovers around 70% overall.
Mine's actually fairly similar. It's about 64%, something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Mine's 62.5. So I wouldn't be too bothered about a bounce rate. If you've got a web comic, you're going to have a high bounce rate because all of your returning visitors are going to look at that new comic and then leave.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the accuracy of those figures? I don't know if you've already spoken about it, but I know that my Google Analytics figures are always very different than the ones on, for example, I also have Project Wonderful ads on my site. Project Wonderful always gives a way, way higher amount of visitors than the Google ones do.
Yeah, we had a wee chat about that actually. Yeah, just different sources seem to have different seem to count them up differently.
I'm just gonna have a quick comparison on mine because I think actually mine are pretty similar. But I'm just gonna quickly check that.
Yeah,
I apologize if I'm making you guys repeat yourselves.
Oh, don't worry.
No, at all. Yeah.
Okay, according to Project Wonderful, I've currently had 20 uniques today. According to Google Analytics, I've had 36.
Wow.
So it's almost 100% out.
Well, yeah, my according to Google Analytics today, I've had, let's see, 319, and according to Project Wonderful, 1,000. So a huge discrepancy there.
Right, so we've got different sides of the ball here, sides of the coin or whatever. So from a relatively high turnover in your case, Project Wonderful's high. But from my point of view, Project Wonderful's low. So must have a plus or minus. You can't really take any of the statistics correctly. I would say from this, when we agreed earlier, you can work out the trends, but I wouldn't play too high on the actual figures.
Yeah,
I agree.
The trends do seem to be about the same. Like if you were looking at the two graphs without any dates, without any actual numbers on it, then the graphs actually do look very similar in my case.
Yeah, to be honest, that's the same with me. The actual trends are pretty much the same.
Shall we do the health warning now? I think we're all going to say you can get very addicted to checking statistics, really for no point whatsoever, and it can sometimes become a bit obsessive. I don't think there's any great harm to it, actually. I know some people would say it can be a bad thing. I don't think it's any other than the time it may waste. I don't think, but
I think there's a natural curiosity to it as well. You kind of want to know how well received something is, especially if it's like a page you've done that you're really proud of and you're like, oh, come on, surely this has got to be the one, you know.
Yeah, I think just because of the sort of the noise and the fluctuation and just the general inaccuracy of analytics software, as we've discussed, really checking on the data from day to day, or even as I've actually found out a way to do hour by hour, is just, it doesn't mean anything really. The noise to signal ratio is too high. I don't think it actually is that detrimental. But
no.
I'm going to disagree there. There is a type of person that I see a lot on Twitter and on certain forums where if they're not getting the validation that they need on a daily basis, they get really depressed, and then their work, you can see a difference in it, and it goes downhill, which is only going to feed into less people wanting to look at it. So I'm of the opinion that, keep an eye on your statistics and make sure that they're going up, but don't be too upset if they're going down for a short period, because they'll pick up again. It could be any kind of fluctuation. And don't, under any circumstance, look at it every day and compare what's happening now with what was happening the previous day, because you don't know why people haven't turned up yet and why they aren't reading it, and it's not necessarily indicative of how your work is being received.
Yeah, that's true. And there are things that are out with your control, such as, you know, when all the universities go away over the summer, that's sort of well known for having a bit of a drop for webcomics. And, you know, like for me at the weekend, you know, I get so, you know, a lot less than I get during the week. And I'm not sure if that's the same for everyone. But yeah, so there are things that you have absolutely no control over.
Well, that's it. You get lower on the weekend if you don't update on the weekend. But you also get lower on the weekend even if you do update, because a lot of people who read your comic at work don't go to work on a weekend.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever made any artistic decisions based on information that you've received from analytics, such as maybe concentrating on a character who you've noticed gets more attention, or and cutting a storyline short because it didn't seem to be very popular?
No, but I'm about to.
Oh my gosh, we're like right in the middle of the action right now.
And there's the storyline that I've been working on for a while that I think may not go down too well, and if it doesn't, I may end up cutting out a little bit of it. And it's about to start on Monday, so I'm going to be looking at the statistics for that, and because it cuts in with a few events that have been happening in the papers, so I may end up getting a bit of a backlash and end up having to cut that.
Okay.
Okay.
I've not used it for actual content within the comic itself, but every week on a Wednesday I post a pin-up, and I have noticed that if my sort of weekly pin-up is something like Princess Leia or something like that, then it'll get a lot more hits than if I do just, you know, just a generic kind of something else. So I have noticed, because I've noticed that, I have had an occasion where I've sort of said, oh well, I'll do some Star Trek ones, and you know, I'll do some Battlestar Galactica ones and things like that, just to, because obviously I want those type of people to come in and be aware of my comic as well.
That's a pretty good idea, to be honest. You're doing stuff anyway, and it's not going to change an awful lot with the comic to pander a little bit to what people like. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, it's I do it as a kind of I enjoy drawing the pictures anyway, so yeah, it's partly a sort of business decision rather than a purely artistic one, I must admit.
That's cool, man. You should do Doctor Who. I'd be there.
Oh yes, well I'm obsessed with Doctor Who, so I would I'd hate to make my site just absolutely Doctor Who based. So I try to ration that as much as I can.
Fair enough.
For me, I do have a look and see if a comic on a particular theme has been popular. I will then try and think of a few more comic scripts on that sort of theme. The other thing I did when I was compiling my book, which was just a collection of about 30 of my I went through and looked at which comics had been the most popular to work out which ones would go in the book. I didn't just use analytics for that. I used personal reviews I'd had on the site from friends and online. But it was useful to work out which ones people liked and might want to see in the book.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
So do you think we've done analytics to death now, or is there any other part that you really find useful and want to talk about as well?
Well, I don't know if it's useful, but I really love using the map overlay bit where you can go in and see where people came from. It's really cool to just go in and have a look at the map, and you can see, you know, which countries have found you. And it's always strange when, you know, some bizarre country you've never heard of, there's someone in the middle of, Africa or something sitting reading your comic. You just are like... How did that happen?
Actually, yes. Has one of my family got on holiday and hadn't told me?
And it's really cool, too, because it tracks right to the city, usually. Well, if it's like a major city.
Oh, yeah.
Keeps clicking. I think that's really cool. Also, it's slightly stalkery in like the most vague and anonymous of ways.
Yeah. So which countries are do you guys find read your comics the most?
I have fairly predictably it's English speaking countries, so America first, then
right.
Canada and the UK roughly tied, and then Australia
okay.
in that order. I think Germany then comes next actually as my top non English speaking country. Interestingly enough, I've had a look and done a little bit of maths and worked out that I'm more popular in America per capita than England. So America has about 9 times as many readers, even though I guess the population is about 6 or 7 times the UK's, which is just, it's an interesting little snippet. And it has sometimes when I thought, well, should I use a dollar sign here to indicate money or should I use a pound sign here? I've slightly betrayed my countrymen and my queen. okay, because I know that I am slightly more popular on the other side of the Atlantic.
I've occasionally come up with, you know, as you're sort of writing something out and you think, oh, wait a minute, this is one of those words that gets spelled differently in different countries, you've got moustache, you know, something like that, where you kind of think, well, do I want to have lots of, you know, American people saying you've spelled the word wrong, or do I want to have lots of British people telling me you've spelled the word wrong?
I'm not going to compromise on colour, though. It's definitely got a U in it.
You've got to draw a line somewhere.
I stick to the British, I have to say, for everything. I just accept that I occasionally have to say to American readers, you know, it's a British comic, you know.
Hopefully the .co.uk will tip them off.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And, yeah, the fact that it's, you know, a spaceship crashes into the middle of Edinburgh, that, you know, it makes sense that it's British.
They might think it's Edinburgh, Massachusetts or something like that, or their version is.
Yeah, Google Maps always thinks I live in Dublin, California. So apparently it shares way too many street names to be convenient.
I've met with my comic, America is the most numerous for my people, but I found that on a weekend, Britain takes over. So perhaps all my British people just went into the weekend. But with me, oddly enough, it tends to be the US and then the UK reading the comic. And then it switches between Norway or Sweden as my third place. So, school for Norge. They are.
So you need some...
I have no idea where you've been...
Sorry?
I have no idea if you just insulted me or said anything.
No, I didn't. I said, cheers, Norway.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast.
So a Scandinavian translation of All Over the House coming soon then?
Yes, as soon as I'm confident in actually writing it properly, I made sure that I had a character set for both of the comics with fonts that actually had the extended European parts of the alphabet in, just in case I wanted to use weird letters sometime, and I think that's going to pay off.
That was a good choice, I think.
Do any of you make a choice like that with your fonts, or have you gone with a one that looked really good?
I went with Digital Strip for mine, just because I absolutely love the way that it looks. So I just, that was all I decided with it. But it seems to be a fairly versatile font. I've not actually tried, I must admit, doing letters with accents and things on them.
Fair. It was quite important with mine for Knob Mouse because he works at Cafe Knob, so I've got to be able to write Cafe correctly.
Well, actually, one of my characters is called Zoe, and as a Zoe yourself, you'll know that there's the little character, the little accent over the E. So
yes,
I have to have Zoe without the accent on my characters.
Oh well, to be honest, most people don't know how to spell it, so I don't think many people will notice. It's one of the most annoying things. It's three letters. people can't understand how to pronounce it if you see it correct, spelled correctly, or to spell it. And it's so annoying.
It just makes you enigmatic.
Yes.
You're like a mysterious stranger. You know, pull your coat collar high and look from beneath the brim of a hat. Who is she? Nobody knows.
Yeah, I get to walk off into the sunset with the rain coming down and all sorts. With my own theme tune. I have no idea where this is going.
You always have Paris. I use Digital Strip as well. I think it's easy to read. It's free, unless you're signing on with a big comic publishing company, which I don't personally predict for my work. And it's good. It's a good option. I find it easy to read, and that's really all that I'm looking for in a comic font.
After that, I hadn't noticed that you two used the same font. I thought the fonts you use are very good, but I hadn't even realised that was the same one.
My comic is actually just a complete rip-off of James's.
Well, that's weird, because mine's
a crash any page.
Mine's just a rip-off of yours, so I don't know how we've done this.
Oh, wow.
Myself, I'm using Blambots. Currently using something called Web Letterer. I forked out £10 and I got Web Letterer Pro, which is basically looks exactly the same, but it's got slightly thinner, maybe you could say neater or not. And it's also got a an extended character set of it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I forked out as well for one of mine. All of the house users. Blambot Casual, and that's one of his pro fonts. And I think it's the same one that Penny Arcade used, and it's actually the reason why I got it, because I thought, they've got a fantastic font that looks really good and it's very clear. I'll have that font. But for Nobmouse, I actually created my own font, and that's worked out quite well. Now that I've worked out that Photoshop has this lovely feature where it can round out your fonts, so it doesn't look as spiky on the screen anymore.
Ah, yeah. The anti-aliasing, I think, is that what it's called?
That's the one, yeah. It's so fantastic because it makes the images so much more forgiving on my spiky handwriting.
That's a great font tip. Please turn on anti-aliasing, because some comics don't, and it's horrible.
Oh yeah,
it's a really simple thing to do if you're using Photoshop, and it. If your fonts look spiky, they don't need to. It's not a...
Just a little checkbox. Give her a click.
And the other thing that might be worth mentioning, just for any listeners, just what Blambot actually is. It's basically a website that's created by... Is his name Nate Picos or something? He has come up with all sorts of different fonts, which are all basically designed that will look great as either text or effects or something for different web comics. And the license that he provides with them is basically that you can use them if you are an independent comic creator. So you don't have to worry about it. And some of them are free to download and some you have to pay for.
But even the ones that you have to pay for, they're reasonably priced, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah.
I've got a few of his now that I've actually paid for, because they're actually worth it, which is more than I can say for a lot of font places. Do you guys ever have a look at his title fonts and things? I just want to change everything on my website to use that font, because I like that sometimes.
His fonts are absolutely amazing. He's done such a great job with them. I love them. I love every one that he comes up with. I always think, oh, I could use that there, I could use that there, or I'll write something to use that one.
Yeah, and the same. I've got pretty much every single one of his free fonts sat on my computer.
Question thing about fonts, I'm going to say this. For the love of God, please don't use Comic Sans.
Oh, thank goodness, I'm glad I wasn't one to say it.
It is not a font to be used in comics. I will come round to your house and break all your furniture if you use Comic Sans.
Yeah, Comic Sans is for your community newsletter, not for your comic, despite what the name might tell you. Please.
I've heard that it's actually based on the lettering from Watchmen. I thought, no way, Watchmen was lettered really well. What are you talking about?
Well, like every single comic font these days is based on Watchmen.
I know.
This is so popular, everyone was like, hey, it must be the lettering. That's why it's sold.
Yeah, it's not the lettering. It's the story and it's the artwork and the fact that they worked so well together. It's not the lettering.
That's a good point as well. Don't get too hung up on the font, but just make sure it's like readable and it doesn't read really, like, clash with your comic. I hate, have you guys ever come like across a comic that is like Times New Roman or something along those lines?
It's called Twilight. Yeah, the graphic novel of Twilight.
It's like, really?
It's in Times New Roman. It's awful.
Oh, that is tragic.
I know. I couldn't read the story anyway because it's full of sparkling vampires and stuff like that. But the fact that I was flicking through it, thinking, there's something incredibly wrong with this awful, awful book.
And that's not a fan thing, is it? Is it like an official?
No, it's the official novelization.
Oh, wow.
I know. What? People were paid money to do this.
What a great way to combine your creative work with all the fun of a business document.
I know. I don't think they could have done anything worse if they'd used System.
I mean, oh, that's shocking. Nobody used Times New Roman. Unless, you know, it's part of just a Word document you're sitting around the office.
I don't even use Times New Roman for Word documents. I used to always change it to Arial because it was easier to read.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think there are very limited content. I think you have to have a very, very particular style if you're going to use Times New Roman, or really any serifed font.
Yes.
I think there are a few comics which do it, but it's very, very specifically for that comic.
Yeah, and my other point would be, I don't care how oldie-worldy and high fantasy your comic is, do not letter your comics in ancient gothic fonts. If I have to spend 5 minutes trying to decipher every single speech bubble, I'm not going to read your comic.
It does sort of ruin the pace of your comic somewhat if you're sitting there writing it all out on a bit of paper just so you can figure it all out.
Yeah. Your calligraphy is wonderful. I can't read a word of it.
Yeah, I mean, the primary goal of font selection is just to make sure that it's readable. Some people, none of us are going for hand lettering. I mean, you've created a font, Zoe. That's what you said. But you're not actually hand lettering each comic individually.
I'm considering it for Inkproof Canon when that launches. But for my comics that I've got at the moment now, they're straight off digital fonts.
I mean, that's the hand lettering is can be done really, really well. I mean, it's something which the fact that there are so many good fonts out there available so easily. It's a little bit of almost a dying art. But if you can pull it off, that's great. But if you can't pull it off, you run the risk of making your comic just straight illegible.
Definitely.
That's true, yeah. And I think there's probably some basics as well. Mm-hmm. Like if you were hand lettering, you sometimes see people, you know, writing it out and it doesn't even stick to the lines, or they use, you know, a handwriting style and things like that. Basically, if you are doing it, you know, by hand, then you the same rules apply, that it just has to be legible and readable, and that it won't disrupt the flow of the comic.
I agree. You've got to get something that just doesn't put people off effectively, and then you're fine.
Okay. Agreed.
Oh,
yeah. I was nodding.
I think we've reached a consensus. Make sure people can read your comic.
Yeah,
I think we were all nodding there, then kind of going, oh, wait a minute, you can't hear the nods.
that's one of the problems with audio-only media. But hey, what else can we do?
We could say yes.
Yes.
I like this idea of using language in order to convey information.
I know it's a radical idea. I'm going out on a limb here, but I think it could work.
I think it could catch on.
Yeah. I'm a little sceptical, but then I was sceptical about fire in the wheel. And
oh, don't get me started on this wheel thing. I'm not convinced that's going anywhere. I'm sorry, puns are really in with me today.
Puns, I think, are the best kind of joke, and anyone who disagrees is a fool. I would have thought some kind of pun insult there, but I'm not so good with the puns.
Fair enough.
Whoever doesn't use them should be punished.
Oh, there you go.
I'll get my coat.
Oh, dear.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
Talking about coats, you'll need one to go out to these conventions that you guys are going to, won't you?
That was seamless.
Seamless.
Handbrake turn into a different conversation.
Yeah. So in 2 weeks' time, I'm going up to Thought Bubble. You're going up to Thought Bubble, James. And are you still going up, Luke?
I am not. Tragedy.
Oh, you're not? I seem to... Yeah. Okay, well, it'll just be the two of us. But yeah, conventions. Slightly scary.
What fun.
I'm really looking forward to it, I have to say. I've never been to a convention, even as a visitor, before, so I have absolutely no idea what to expect. But yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. You just went to one, didn't you, look in, was
yeah. I went to MCM Expo, which is actually a very large event, for not just for comics. It's in the Excel Centre in London, and it happens every 6 months, actually. It's rather than the annual thing. And a very large hall is filled with lots of anime, sci-fi, manga, some TV related stuff. And then in a sort of a corner, there's the Comic Artist Village, which is a group of about, they're probably about 100 or so tables with people like me behind them, trying to sell things to unsuspecting partners, passers-by.
Oh,
wow. It's worth saying that these conventions, the bits that probably we're going to talk about tend to be markets, pretty much. There are connected things which aren't purely purely people selling things. But if you haven't been to a convention before, you might not entirely expect it to be just like this is, but it's essentially it's a market of independent comics.
Ah, yeah. Right. So what sort of things did you take along to it then, Luke?
My primary project was a printed collection of my books, which I have actually mentioned earlier in this podcast. Seamlessly link in.
That sounds like a good Christmas present.
It could
yes,
be.
Where can
it's
I purchase it?
£3 or two, I think a £3.50 from All Good Conventions. Thought coming up. I had this book. I also had some pin badges to sell, which I was selling for £1. And I also had some prints made of my comics, some small ones, which I was selling for smaller amounts of money. And I had a really good con. This MCM lasted 3 days, which is unconventional. Friday was quite quiet. It was just some people with all weekend passes. Saturday there was a lot of people in, and then Sunday was a bit quieter than that. The thing is, it's quite exhausting. You have to really be smiling and happy and on message for pretty much 7 hours a day. It's a bit like essentially working retail, really.
Right.
It's fun because you're selling something that you're hopefully really quite proud of, and it's good to see people pick it up and actually decide that your comic is actually worth some money, which for those of us who work online is slightly alien experience.
It sounds like an absolutely enormous convention, the way
it
you
is.
Described it there.
Yeah, it gets about, I think it's about 40,000 people over 3 days. Not all of those people will head out or actually go to the Comic Village. There's a lot of people, and a lot of people in costumes and cosplaying and things. It's very colourful. And there's sort of a group of people that sort of are at these things who you will see again and again a bit over time.
All right, that's quite interesting. So at the con then, did you do sketches and things, or did you sort of, were you kind of more talking to people about what you were doing?
I was more talking to people. Some people do sketches. We'll have one of the things that they will sell is I will draw something for you in the next half hour. Sort of custom mini commissions. The way that I create stuff doesn't really lend itself to that so much. I do a lot of my creation process. A lot of it's done on computer, so it wouldn't. I don't think I wouldn't really be able to produce something I'm happy with at the table just there. But some people do sell sketches. Some people sell original art of their comics, which is another thing that you can sell. But the primary thing that people sell are books and prints of their comics.
So are most of the books when people have their books there, is it ones that they've kind of produced themselves, like through a printer, or like through, like they've sort of created the book and like they've made it themselves at home, or I don't really know how the average table would look.
Most people will create their books through some form of self-publishing services. There's in the UK, there's things like Fanprint, which is apparently quite a widely used service. I personally use Lulu.com because they're a little bit faster, and I'm a little bit less prepared, less on the ball than
them. So did none of you go with a traditional printer?
I'm going to try this for Thought Bubble coming up. A friend of mine in Oxford has recommended a place.
Cool. When I'm publishing books with my publishing company, we tend to go with one traditional printer who are really good with that. But I'm wondering whether they're going to be capable of doing graphic novels. So I was wondering if any of you had a traditional printer that you would recommend. Because it is incredibly cheap compared to print on demand.
The only thing is you have to do quite a lot of them. Like you have to do a fairly sizable print run generally for an actual printer. But
but you've got to look at it as a kind of long term investment. For example, when we print a print run, it's generally around 1,000 or 1,100 bucks.
Right.
The way I was looking at it was, if I'm going to put money into this, I'm going to be doing it for a long term anyway. So if I print up maybe 1,000 graphic novels to keep the price down, it doesn't mean that I'm going to end up losing out on those, because I will eventually sell them. If I'm going to be producing books, I'm going to eventually sell them. Otherwise, there's no point in actually producing them.
I think a good alternative is, just because it's not a print-on-demand service, you can use a digital printer. Like Luke mentioned, Fanprint. And they're a company that do digital printing, and they give you a flat rate per book, no matter how many you order.
So if you're ordering,
it's brilliant.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Fanprint. What they do is that because they're so popular, they have quite early deadlines for getting things printed by the major comic conventions. And I'm too disorganized to actually take advantage of them. But I heard only good things about.
Oh, guys, we've lost Luke. Luke Healy has gone offline.
Oh no!
Yeah. Oh well. We'll see if he comes back.
Yeah. For Thought Bubble, I've basically gone to Kablam, who's a digital printer, and I've printed up 10 copies of Girls in Space, a book that's basically got the first 3 stories in it. In other words, the first year of Girls in Space. And I decided to go for 10 copies at print on demand just to kind of test the water and sort of gauge whether it would be worth doing a proper print run in the future. So I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water a wee bit with Thought Bubble, and I have no idea whether 10 copies is too few or too many.
I'd take more than 10 if I were you.
Really?
I think, like Zoe said, if you plan to do more than one, and you can also sell books through other means, it's not terrible if you don't sell out.
Right.
I'd worry that if you only took 10, that you could end up selling out and then not having much, not being able to sell anybody anything.
Yeah, well, I'll have 10 copies of Silly Beggar. I'm taking 10 copies of... I wrote a book last year called Silly Beggar, which it's not actually a comic book, but I did write it, so I'm taking that as well. And I've got some sort of comics of Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark as well. So,
so
I've got more than just that book, and I've got some other things as well. Like I'm actually doing sketch cards where I've got one side printed with Girls in Space and the back's blank, so I was going to draw something on that, and I have no idea whether I charge for that or not. I honestly don't know what to do about that.
I find it interesting that you'd recommend taking more than 10 copies of the book for your first convention, because I take it that it's not like a standard book signing in a bookshop. Then people are actually turning up and intending to spend money, aren't they?
When I did book signings for Silly Beggar, I found, like, I did them at Waterston's and Borders Books, which is no longer around, but I found that, people coming into the bookshop, you'd sort of, try and, say, oh, can I interest you in my book? And you feel like a used car salesman kind of thing. But even then, like, I found it was really only about 20, 25 copies I would be able to get. I mean, I wasn't there for the whole day, admittedly, but I'm finding it really difficult to gauge just how many copies I should take to this thing.
Well, I'll tell you straight off, if you're selling 20 to 25 copies of a book that people haven't turned up but intending to buy, I would take more than 10 copies of your comic to a convention where people are intending to buy things. Because in my experience, a relatively new author can, on a good day, sell 10 copies at a book signing.
Ah, right.
So I would say you've definitely got the sales power to sell more than that.
Right, I think I've probably left it too late to get more than 10 copies of Silly Beggar. Girls in Space, if I'm honest. So I think I'm going to have to just take my 10 copies. Maybe I'll just crank the price up to 50 quid or something.
The price is really important, though, in considering what you're going to, how many you're going to sell. Cheap stuff sell... I know this is going to sound a bit silly, but cheap stuff sells way, way better, in my experience, at conventions. The cheaper something is, the more likely someone will just pick it up on a whim when they've seen it.
Ah, right. I was thinking that I would have things at sort of different prices. Some things that would be, like badges and things I was going to take along, and then working their way up to the two colour books, basically, which... again, I'm actually not totally sure how much I'm going to sell them for. Well, Silly Beggar's got the price on it, but the one I've done myself, I'll have to think about just what's worthwhile selling it for.
If you haven't been before, you'll probably be fairly surprised about that. I wasn't when I went to the thing. Is actually how high the prices are, because people are trying to one, cover their printing, which they've not done as efficiently as a major publisher can do,
right.
And two, people are trying to make a little bit of cash. So I actually very much undercharged on my first book at my first con. I was selling it for not very much more than printing and delivery had cost. When you get there, you can sort of gauge it against what other people have set theirs up.
Make sure to bring a marker so you can change the prices.
Maybe I'll do it on a customer by customer basis. I'll just sort of see how rich they look. top hat and monocle, that means that they get charged the 50 quid. If they're in rags, then well, I guess I could go down to $49.99.
Well, guys, it's been about an hour. Is there anything else that we really want to talk about?
No, I don't think so, but I'm thinking that the next one that we have is 2 weeks' time, which is actually the day after Thought Bubble. So I'm not sure what... will you be back, Luke?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually booked my train tickets yet.
Right.
I'll be probably spending Saturday night in Leeds.
Right.
And then coming back down to Oxford on Sunday morning.
Right. I'm also staying the night in Leeds, but we're travelling up on Sunday as well. But I'm not sure how long it'll take to get from Leeds back up to Dunfermline. So, I don't know.
So perhaps
we could try and record a Monday evening. If so, we'll probably work it out, I guess.
Yeah, we can play it by ear and see what happens.
All right.
Okay, then. Yeah. Shall we sign off?
Brilliant, yep. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. My name's James Spence from Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
And I'm Luke Healy. I've been here for half the podcast, and you can find my comics at swaneynook.com.
I'm Luke Searle, and you can find my comics at lukesearle.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk-Robinson. You can find me at alloftheHouse.net, nobmouse.net, not the life of Nocturne Mouse, because that's the name of the thing, and not the URL, because I did a stupid thing. So that's alloftheHouse.net, nobmouse.net, and webcomicbuilder.com.
Hey.
Yeah, moral of the story there, name your comic after the URL or vice versa.
Thank you.
Okay, this has been the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
We're so cool right now, guys.
I think that went really well.
Yeah,
it was an interesting discussion. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, this is cool. So I hope that you do well at the convention, guys. I'd like to have been able to come along, but it turns out we've got some book signings booked for the same time, so I may have to see you at another convention.
Well, good luck with the book signings.
It's been going well so far, so I'm hopeful that I'll keep up, and that'll be great.
Excellent. Whereabouts are you doing your book signings then? Is that around sort of London and
wherever we can? We've been up in Darlington. We're in Bolton on not this weekend, the weekend actually the weekend that's coming up. Then we're in Darlington on a date that I can't remember, and then we're in Manchester for a major event with 10 authors. So that should be really good fun.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good.
I'm hoping that by this time next year, I've got my sitting room back. Because that's where all of our books are.